Thank you, Dan and Selma. Great, great worship, time of worship. I do want to just draw to your attention, first of all, you see this little yellow insert. We need your help for our students who are away from home to brighten their memories of us. So please take note of that insert and the donation box is out in the foyer, or it will be in the office through the week as well. And drop your donations off by February 14th. As well, I want you to take the back of your bulletin and note the prayer needs. You already heard about David Sandine. We'll continue to pray for him. And Olga Scarf, who's at home. But I want you to see that Wayne Yost, who we've been praying for, is sitting here in the front with his family. So praise God. Wayne is here. So good. Great to have you guys here. And Olga, where's Olga? There's Olga. There she is, Olga. You are back. That's great. Praise God. We need to keep praying and pray for the search team as we search for the vacant position. And we would love your prayers in that regard too. Let's pray, shall we? Father God, we do thank you. We thank you that Olga is sitting here and Wayne and Merle. And God, we thank you. We know you're a God who is a great God who brings these sparks of light to us, of answered prayer. And God, we know that you answer prayer in many different forms and in many different ways. And so we pray for David, who is recovering, and Lord, who's walking through a time of stretching and a journey for his family, and we pray for him and for Tina, and Lord, that you would continue to give to them the courage they need for these weeks ahead and for the recovery that he's walking through. And Lord, there are many other needs right within our fellowship here, within the family, and Lord, you know each one, and maybe even needs that Lord, we haven't heard about. Maybe there's somebody here who's hurting. Maybe they're hurting emotionally or financially or some way, God, they're in pain right now. So, God, we just pray that we as your people would realize that our relationship with you is so critical and so important, and that you're the giver of good things. Lord, even when we're suffering, you're the giver of the good things. And we thank you, God, that you are. We thank, Lord, of the search team as they continue that search for the vacant position. And Lord, thank you for them, and we pray your blessing on them. And Lord, we know that you have in mind just the right person for us here. And so, God, we just pray that we would follow your will and your purpose in that direction, Lord, that we would seek you. Lord, we thank you that we can come on this day and we can worship together and we can even gather at your table and fellowship in this way, recline together. And God, we don't take that for granted, that we can be here with you. So Lord, we just ask that as we open your word, that you would speak to our hearts, and may our hearts and minds just be clear of all those concerns that we have today, so that we can really see you, God, in a fresh way, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I think we go through life and we neglect some things along the way. I mean, there are things that probably that you look back and you say, wow, I neglected that in my life, and I wish I hadn't neglected even to look at that. You know, I know, like, I don't know if you've done this, but, you know, we looked many years ago, Joan and I, first married, we thought about, wouldn't it be neat to buy some of that property, you know, down in wherever, Arizona, and pay only $7,000 for that piece of property, and never did it because we didn't have the money. But then when we did have the money, we didn't do it either. And now it's probably worth, you know, hundreds of thousands of dollars. But we neglect things in our life. But it's often those things which are necessary in life that we actually do neglect. The most important things we neglect. It's maybe just like this. This could be one example of that. If you want to show the video.
Drink your milk, kids.
I don't want milk. Milk's for babies.
Yeah, babies.
Oh, yeah? Well, I happen to know that milk helps build strong bones. So drink up.
Well, Mr. Miller told me he never drinks milk. Look at him.
Yeah.
Hi, kids.
Oh, that's not good.
Got milk.
I couldn't neglect that. I think we sometimes neglect going deeper in a relationship with God. And part of that may be that we're afraid. Or we let our mouths get away with us when we are with the Lord. And we neglect to just know God better. And then we just keep limping along trying to find the best way to live. I mean, you probably, I don't want to show of hands, but maybe you've prayed this prayer, God, I just want to know you better. I think we have at some point in our life cried that out to God and said, I just want to get to know you better, God. I mean, we all want to get to know people better. I mean, I know when I started dating, I mean, I wanted to get to know my future wife better. She wasn't my future wife yet. I chased her until she caught me and getting to know her better. My father used to say to me when I would get myself into trouble, and I know what you're thinking, you in trouble? I know, but hard for me to believe too, but my father used to say to me when I get in trouble, my father used to say, little wonderful good-natured Devin, you know better. You know better. We all want to know better. Our relationship with God is no different than wanting to know Him better. We all want to know God. So this morning we're going to dig into Mark chapter 14. And it's the passage, if you turn there, Mark chapter 14. And we're going to start at verse 12. But it's the passage about the Lord's Supper, but it's not so much about the Lord's Supper as it is about relationship. So I invite you to turn to Mark chapter 14. I'm going to read starting at verse 12 of Mark 14. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, when it was customary to sacrifice the Passover lamb, Jesus' disciples asked him, where do you want us to go and make preparations for you to eat the Passover? So he sent two of his disciples, telling them, go into the city, and a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him. Say to the owner of the house he enters, the teacher asks, where is my guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples? He will show you a large upper room, furnished and ready. Make preparations for us there. The disciples left, went into the city, and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When evening came, Jesus arrived with the 12. While they were reclining at the table, eating, he said, I tell you the truth, one of you will betray me. One who is eating with me. To deepen your spiritual relationship, you first of all got to recline and rest with God. Just got to recline and rest with Him. This is just so simple that we miss it. We're so busy trying to rest that we miss the author of the rest. Jesus called us to come to Him for rest, but we miss resting with Him. Because to really rest with God is to just be with Him, to spend time with Him, to get to know him. I mean, we always pray and we ask God, I just want to know you more, and then we don't spend any time with him. That's like saying, I want to be married to you, but you live somewhere else and I live somewhere else. We'll just come together once in a while, maybe to say hi. Last week we talked about how we get so caught in our own way that we miss really what God has for us. Remember, what God doesn't author, he doesn't have to finish. He's the author and he's the finisher for our faith. Well, the disciples understood this being with Jesus, yet they needed to deepen their relationship with the Lord. And this passage, and we've noted it many times, but I just want to pull a few things out today which speak of how important being alone with God really is. Getting away and just reclining and resting with him for a while. This moment in Scripture, they come to Jesus and they say, All right, what do we have to do to spend time with you? And Jesus tells them what to do. And what did they do? They did it. Why would they do this? Why would they just go, okay, we'll go, we'll find somebody, we'll find the upper room, just like you said, we'll do what you say. I mean, why would they do that? Because they wanted to be alone with Jesus. See, I've said this over and over and over. We've said this, I'm sure. I don't think I'm alone. Well, if I only had time to read my Bible, if I only had time to pray, if I only had time to do ministry, if I only had time to care for the poor, if I only had time, if I only had time, am I alone here? See, if only I had time to be alone with God. See, being a Christian and having Jesus Lord of your life is a lot more than this. If you really want to know who you are, you need to spend time with the one who knows who you are. And that's why we gave out those calendars. I mean, those spiritual devotional calendars, those time to, and there's still some out there. You're welcome to grab one or two. But we gave those to you so that when you look at the day, you can actually read the Word of God. And it gives you some thought-provoking questions each day for you. So you can spend time with God. Blaise Pascal said it well. He said, not only do we not know God except through Jesus Christ, we do not even know ourselves except through Jesus Christ. He's the author and he's the finisher of our faith. This is critical. Our coming together is critical. Gathering together, worshiping God together. This pleases God. But to spend time with him, even outside of this time. I mean, I think that's why the Bereans that we read in Scripture, they were always held up as people who searched the Scriptures to see if what Paul was saying was truth. That has always impressed me, because the Bereans took time after the teaching that they received to spend time alone with God. How are you spending time alone with God? If you want to know him better, then you got to make time for him. God gave so that you could live, that you could spend eternity with him. Why not try living with him now? Why not know him better now? And I'll tell you, when you do that, your life becomes so much more enjoyable to live. Because the only way you can do that is by taking time and just spending time alone with God. Don't just make time for God. You got to take time with God. The disciples go to Jesus. They say, where can we commune together? And if you look at verse 18, while they were reclining at the table and eating, he said, I'll tell you the truth. One of you will betray me, one who's eating with me. You know, they go and they find this place. They sit down, this special moment in this upper room. They got the time alone with God. So they've got it. They're reclining. They're resting. They're alone with him. And then he drops something on them. A huge bomb. One of you is going to betray me. What words? Have you ever had that happen in your life where you're looking forward to something and then all of a sudden, boom, something huge happens? Interesting when that happens in our life, because when that happens, then all of a sudden I don't want anything to do with that anymore. That's horrible. Let me just tell you about swimming, for example. I cannot swim. Well, barely swim. My children taught me sort of how to survive if ever I'm in the deep end. But I took swimming lessons, okay? My brothers, much older, and I'm not going to comment about their wisdom, but they're much older than I, and they tell me, they say, oh, you'll love swimming lessons. Oh, Devin, you'll love, then you can come with us to the pool, we can swim together. My friends, I go swim with my friends, I would say, I got a suntan, you know? They call me, anyway, but, you know, you can sit in suntan, we're going swimming, we're diving in. And I would see them dive in. I couldn't swim. I didn't know how to swim. They said, oh, you're going to take swim lessons? Swim lessons are great. You're going to love to swim. You know, then we'll be able to go swimming together. We can swim beyond the pool. I mean, we'll go to the lakes. We'll do all the... My parents, they said, you are going to love swimming. Devin, you will love it. You'll be like a fish. Once you get in the water, you'll be, you know... My instructor said you are going to be an amazing swimmer. I can tell by your build. You're going to be an amazing swimmer. And you know what? They were all absolutely correct. Until I hit the water. I swam like a boat anchor. I got in the water and down I went. And I didn't know what to do when I was down there. You know? I saw all these legs and feet and everything above me. What do I do down here? You know? I gasped when I was under there and came up protruding water out of my mouth. The instructor was pulling me and laid me down on the, laid me down, pushed here, blew here. I mean, there was stuff, there were people, and you know, if you want to be attractional, that's one way to do it. Just sit in the bottom of the pool for a while and you will become attractional because everybody was standing around me watching this happen and they were, boom, and I was going, I'm all right, blah, blah, I'm all right, blah, blah, blah. You know, I'm okay, blah, 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 blah. Do you think that I would listen when my brothers, friends, and parents said that I could do something? After that, I had my doubts. In fact, I was afraid to tell them I wanted to do anything because I thought if I do, they'll convince me you can do it. I was scared. Jesus tells them, someone's going to betray me. I don't think we're so much afraid of getting alone with God. I think we're afraid of what he's going to say when we're alone with him. See, I think we're afraid what God is going to say to us when we recline and we rest with him. When we take the time to be with him and really listen. I think there's something there, like the disciples, when they gather, we're going to have supper? Great! Awesome! Yeah, we get time alone with Jesus? Oh, this is going to be celebrative! By the way, one of you is going to betray me. What? We don't like that. We don't like being stretched that way. Some of you right now are being stretched. God is doing a great work in your heart to bring you closer to him. He's stretching you. I don't know about you, but I don't really like to be stretched. And it's not because they called me stretch in high school either. I mean, you know. Some of you are being stretched, and you don't like the way it makes you feel. But the fact is, you're never going to really know God. You're never going to recline and rest with Him and commune with Him in a special way unless you're stretched. See, when I think of stretching, I think of, you know, being on one of those big, you know, the old, I don't know if anybody's seen those old Frankenstein films where you get laid on the, you know, we're putting you on the stretcher and we're stretching you. Oh, the pain, you know, being stretched. God stretches. Sometimes God stretches because He knows that that's the only time we will ever get alone with Him. See, when we're stretched, we always wonder, why do I have to go through this? God, help me through this. God, walk me through it. Take time prior to the stretching just to rest with God. So that when you are stretched, you're so comfortable with Him and your relationship that you can just have a discussion with Him. That you can still recline and rest with Him. Can you say, I need to recline and rest with God? And that involves stretching. Oh, you don't like that part. That's why Jesus died. So that you could have a deep, intimate, exciting, personal relationship with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That's why He died. To be alone with Him. To recline and rest in Him. Come to the upper room this morning and recline and rest with Jesus. Well, to deepen your spiritual relationship, you've got to recline and rest with God, but you also got to receive from Him. I mean, come with me to the room again in which Jesus just explained what was holding for the days ahead. He says, I'll be betrayed, I'll be forsaken, not by someone out there. I'm going to be betrayed by somebody right here. One of my disciples is going to betray me. It's not somebody in the world. It's going to be right here. I don't know how that makes you feel. But it makes me very aware of who I am with God and that I am not infallible. He tells them this. And then He says, now let's eat. Not just any meal, but a special meal of remembrance, because I want you to remember. I want you to remember this moment where at this table, someone's going to betray me. Not in the world, but somebody who's going to eat with me is going to betray me. That's why verses like John 1, verse 12 says, yet to all who received Him, to those who believed in His name, He gave the right to become children of God. To as many as received Him, gave He the power to become the children of God. Receive from Him. See, when you receive something, you surrender. You let it, you give up. You say, okay, I'll take it. Some of you find it hard to receive because you find it hard to just kind of give that up and say, well, but I want a choice in this. No, just receive. God wants to be merciful to you, but you have to receive mercy. God grants you hope, but you have to receive hope. God wants to be kind to you and bless you and give you something that we do not deserve, but you got to receive it. Those disciples, they had difficulty with this. He was explaining, you know what's going to happen? This cross is going to happen. He was telling about His body and His blood. And I know that if I'd been one of them sitting at that table with Him, I would have been wondering, I would have been worrying over, wait a minute, we got to try and figure this out. I don't want to betray Him. I can't betray Him. And so, that's how we act when we come to God. We're so busy trying to justify our own self. Looking, well, I got to figure this out. I don't want to betray Him. We come to God and when we need Him. And we ignore Him when we don't. The disciples did this over and over and over again. Most people want to serve God as an advisor. Well, God, this is really how it should be done. Disciples did that. No, we don't like the cross idea. Let's figure something else, okay, Jesus? Let's figure, because that cross thing, that's ridicule and shame. We don't want that. Why don't you become king? Why don't you do something way better? In fact, why don't you put us at your right and left hand? Let's just make this a really good thing. Let's make it prominent, all right, God? Let's do it easy. I don't think that they were prepared for the cross as part of their plan. There's so much in our own lives in which we try to deal with God on. Try to tell him what should be done when all we have to do is just receive from him. That's all I need. Have you received from him? See, that's the question, really, this morning that you need to ask yourself. You need to come to Jesus. You need to say, I receive. I receive from you what, Lord, what you want to give to me. You know, when you think about it, when you really know God, when you receive from him, you receive the best of the best. God always gives the best. Matthew says, for everyone who asks, receives. Mark says, therefore, I tell you, whatever you ask in prayer, believe that you received it, it will be yours. John says, from the fullness of his grace, we've all received one blessing after another. John further says, peace be with you, Jesus said. As the Father sent me, I'm sending you. And with that, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. Have you received? Hello? You're there? Have you received? Amen. Maybe you feel like you're a failure this morning. I feel like I can't measure up. I can't do it. I'm definitely insecure in my relationship with God. The Bible says we were to come to the throne of grace and receive mercy for our failures. Spend a lot of our time begging God for things, advising him on what needs to happen. And all the while, all we really need is just to know him better. Because he has a marvelous, amazing life in store for you for all eternity. But he wants you. It's the beautiful part. He wants you to receive it now and live it now. The free grace of God. And I can't do anything but receive it. When you really know God, when you really have a relationship with him, you really know how to receive from him. I mean, we often ask, did you get healed? Did you get saved? Did you get needs met? Did you get financially? Did you get what you needed? Did you get? We're not supposed to get anything. We're supposed to live by faith and receive what the grace of God's already provided for us. How many of you believe, and you can say amen to this, don't show hands. How many of you believe Jesus did a finished work on the cross? I'll ask again. How many of you believe Jesus did a finished work on the cross? Amen. And really, everything that we need to live in victory has already been provided. Amen. We just have to learn how to receive it. And faith is the way you receive it. Leaning on God. God's a giver. God's a lover. He wants to give to us. He wants to love us. He wants to do for us. And he did do for us, but we must receive what he's done for us so that we can know him better. Yet we only really receive what he's done for us when we recline, when we rest with him. Let's pray. Well, heads are bowed and eyes are closed. I'm going to ask you, before we come to the table, maybe it's time to remember what this table represents. Not just the cross, not just the resurrection. That's a huge part of this table. That's the celebrative part. But also, it's time to remember our relationship with Him. It's time to recline and rest. It's time to receive from Him. It's time to trust, not deny Him. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed, maybe you just want to talk to Him a little bit. Maybe you just want to say, God, I want to recline and rest in You like I never have before. And I know, God, that means that You may say something I don't like. But I want to hear it. The second part is also that you need to receive from Him. Because He's just got blessing after blessing after blessing, love after love, peace that no one can understand. And He'll give it all to you. But you got to receive it. I invite you to just say, God, I'll receive it. Just quietly in your heart, just say, I want to rest in You. And I know that may involve just hearing something I don't like, but also, Lord, I want to receive from You. Father God, we know that this table is just much more than we can imagine. We have thoughts of what it is, but God, it's so much more. And as we come to this table, God, we know that there are moments that we betray You. There are times where we're afraid to be alone with You because we're afraid of what You'll say. But God, You forgive us when we're like that. And You know that our humanness is such that it's so hard in this world to walk that way, to walk the way of truth and grace. We failed You so much. But You say, receive. Come and partake of this table, knowing that You receive My unconditional love, My peace, My joy. For that we say, thank You. Thank You, Jesus. Thank You for saying the tough stuff. Thank You that we can sit with You and listen. Thank You that we can receive from You. Thank You that we can recline and rest with You. May You receive all glory and all power. Amen. I'll ask, it's your song. I'll ask the elders to come and prepare the Lord's table.